Historians, not to mention conspiracy theorists, are excited today. That's because the National Archives is releasing the final batch of classified documents related to the Kennedy assassination. Right now, we're going to look at another presidential assassination that's also shrouded in mystery. This one, the president of Burkina Faso in West Africa, Thomas Sankara. 30 years ago this month, I was living in the capital, Ouagadougou, had just moved there, and then this happened.
Coup d'état. La nouvelle a été confirmée ce matin à Ouagadougou. Thomas Sankara, ancien chef d'état.
Sankara killed by his second in command on October 15th, 1987. That was the bulletin on the BBC's French for Africa broadcast. I don't want to talk about his killing, but about his legacy, since he's still not that well known. Sankara had come into power 4 years earlier in a bloodless coup. He changed the colonial name of his country, Upper Volta, to Burkina Faso, literally the land of people of integrity. He was a young man, 37, when he died. 3 years earlier, 1984, President Sankara went to New York City.
Notre Maison Blanche se trouve dans le Harlem Noir.
That's what I said, and I will repeat myself. My White House is in the Black Harlem.
This was at a gathering in Harlem. He arrived in his camouflage fatigues and red beret and told a receptive crowd of several hundred that this was his White House.
Nous devons être fiers d'être noir.
You have to be proud to be black.
It wasn't just sloganeering. Sankara believed deeply in a pan-Africanism that reached across the diaspora, and for him that included Harlem.
Les frères sont en Afrique du Sud.
Our brothers in Southern Africa.
Ils doivent être libérés.
They must be free.
Sankara was fighting apartheid, but also the wider legacy of colonialism and imperialism. That rally was punctuated by Sankara's trademark call and response.
L'impérialisme!
Imperialism. Down with it, answered the crowd.
C'est un homme un peu dérangeant, le président Sankara.
That's French President François Mitterrand in 1986 at a state dinner in Burkina Faso. He was saying Sankara is an unsettling man, and Mitterrand was saying that to Sankara's face. Moments earlier, Sankara had publicly scolded Mitterrand for allowing the leader of apartheid South Africa to visit France. It took Mitterrand aback, so when Sankara was done, Mitterrand put away his prepared remarks and stood up.
Il pose des questions, quoi.
Sankara asks questions.
Avec lui, il n'est pas facile de dormir en paix.
With him, said Mitterrand, it's not easy to sleep peacefully. So why did Sankara keep people like Mitterrand up at night? He was brash and challenged the historic order.
Critics were saying he is a dictator. Of course, that was not democracy, we have to say. But people think about him as a hero.
That's architect Francis Quéré. We'll hear more from him in a moment. But Sankara the hero, that is still very much the case for many Africans, not just Burkinabe. When Sankara was president, a giant billboard dominated the main plaza in Ouagadougou. It read, "Consume what we produce, produce what we consume." Sankara rejected the post-colonial grip on Burkina and didn't want to depend on France for anything. But Sankara also divided a lot of his own fellow Burkinabe with his notion that a truly independent country requires hard work. His ideas like obligatory exercise for civil servants 2 days a week and making all government employees, even ministers, fly economy class. But the bloody coup that came 30 years ago this month was still a shock. Women were especially upset because Sankara was like no African leader they had ever encountered. He publicly opposed female genital mutilation before most of us in the West had heard about it. He put unprecedented numbers of women in cabinet positions. Suddenly, women felt free to call out domestic violence, holding rallies.
Les maris qui battent les femmes. Les maris qui torturent.
Targeting husbands who beat their wives.
La patrouille, la mort.
Allô, bonjour.
Allô, bonjour.
Mariam?
Oui.
I called up Thomas Sankara's widow, Mariam. She now lives in Montpellier in southern France. I wanted to know how real his feminism was at home, back in Ouagadougou.
Il respectait la femme, donc moi il me respectait.
He respected women, she told me, so he respected me. At home, we shared in the decision-making. And then she laughed.
Oui, peut-être parce qu'il était égal juste aussi que j'ai accepté, c'est ça.
Because he was egalitarian, she said, is why I accepted his hand in marriage. In Montpellier, where Mariam Sankara lives, there's a small street named after Thomas Sankara. It's young French activists there who made that happen, she told me. It's also young activists in Africa who keep Sankara's memory and mission alive.
La jeunesse actuelle, Elle, quand elle a ses,
the youth today in Burkina Faso and in other parts of Africa, she says, they want to solve problems, solve them immediately. Problems around justice and corruption, and always remembering Sankara's message about not submitting to big political powers.
À la volonté des grandes puissances.
But Mariam says just remembering her late husband's reputation as egalitarian is not enough.
Alors que c'est vrai que cette lutte-là est bien, c'est bon.
We must hope, she says, that the youth not only admire Sankara, but that they are also examples of his vision.
I am like many, many young people in Africa who was inspired by this leader who was trying to create something for the people.
That's Francis Kéré, the Burkina Bay architect we met earlier.
When he was killed, I was already in Germany and I was 22 years old.
Kéré went to Germany to study architecture. He now heads up his own design firm in Berlin. He's taught studios at Harvard and won awards. And his success has grown up around an approach that begins with local materials. That comes from Thomas Sankara.
Sankara was the very first leader that tried to deal with architecture. And you know what he did? With clay, integrating local material to create housing.
Clay bricks, a traditional building material, with some modern updates. Kéré has returned to his home country numerous times to build schools, nurseries, activity centers, even the new Parliament House, using those clay bricks. When Sankara was a champion of this kind of improved construction, he encountered resistance for a very simple reason.
Let's be honest and say modernity is quite very attractive, you know. But the thing is, Sankara really wanted to push the people, be really, really independent, you know. And he was hoping there will be a chance, but some people consider him being an enemy.
I had moved to Burkina Faso to work as a freelance journalist and had been there for about a month when Sankara was killed. It was a mystery, and it's never been fully investigated. All that is known for sure is that Sankara and 12 of his associates were ambushed during an afternoon meeting on a Thursday. For several days, Burkina's state radio played military music, sometimes Soviet, sometimes French. And then on Sunday afternoon, someone at the station played the first non-military music I heard. It was this song by Dionne Warwick. I doubt anyone in the new government was listening that closely or would have gotten it if there was something to get. But a lot of hearts in Burkina Faso were broken when Sankara was killed. I wonder sometimes what would have happened if he had lived longer. Would he have had a chance to build on his promises? Or would he have disappointed, like so many leaders in Africa, with big dreams?